Restrictions apply.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. It's preparation day for many residents in Texas, Louisiana, with Hurricane Laura approaching. Correspondent Shelley Adler has more.
We are concerned.
Ben Reynolds, who lives with his wife in southwestern Louisiana, both are in their 70s.
We were content when it was a Category 2, and now that it's a 3, it's a little more concerning to us. But with COVID, at this point in time, we're going to stay.
And Reynolds has lived through many storms in the past 50 years.
I can tell you it's not fun. It's noisy and it goes on for a long time, and when you think it should be over, it's not.
I'm Shelley Adler.
Fire crews made progress Tuesday in Northern California as better weather and reinforcements with bulldozers are penning in wildfires that have killed at least 7 people. Deputy Chief Jonathan Cox with CAL FIRE says weather conditions are on their side.
As of 6 o'clock this morning, this incident is now 78,869 acres. The good news is we continue to make progress on containment, and we're up to 17.17% containment.
At least 1,300 homes have been destroyed. In political news, Melania Trump is the keynote speaker for the second night of the GOP convention.
The First Lady will make a case for her husband's re-election from the newly renovated White House Rose Garden. Tonight's convention theme is Land of Opportunity. Mrs. Trump won't be the only family member speaking. The president's son, Eric, and daughter, Tiffany, will also be making speeches. Also on the program is Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who will give remarks from Jerusalem. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Also featured will be Covington High School student Nicholas Sandman, who settled with CNN and the Washington Post over their coverage of his confrontation with a Native American protester during a March for Life rally. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 60 points, but the NASDAQ rose 86. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring. But one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800.
Let's face it, these are challenging times. Hey, Kevin Wall here for SRT Special Services. Since 2014, SRT Special Services has provided Southern Nevada businesses with executive protection, safe rooms, residential security, and more. Now, in the COVID-19 era, it's important to know who's coming into your place of business. Ask the pros at SRT Special Services about the Liberty AI with facial recognition and thermal scanning. The Liberty AI can let you know if the next customer through your front door is running a temperature, protecting your employees, your customers, and your corporate liability. Facial recognition and temperature scanning technology has been out there for years. Now, the security pros at SRT Special Services can offer the Liberty AI at a price that even small mom-and-pop businesses can afford. If your business deals with the general public, you need the Liberty AI for SRT Special Services. Call 702-221-1942. That's 702-221-1942. Call today.
It's 3:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash powered by Mr. Law. I'm Jim Dallas. Governor Sisolak says state officials might begin to identify businesses which appear to be linked to COVID-19 clusters. State officials have recently begun analyzing country-level data to pinpoint specific locations where people may have been infected by the coronavirus. While other states have determined the exact events and businesses which have generated COVID-19 clusters, Nevada officials have yet to publicly identify any specific spreading events or case clusters beyond nursing homes. Facing felony charges linked to the misuse of airline gift cards, the former head of the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority accepts a plea deal. Rossi Remlin-Cotter has pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor charge of violation by a public officer and paid a $1,000 fine. He faced two felony charges for reportedly using $17,000 in Southwest Airlines gift cards bought by the agency for his personal use. The CEO of Zappos has stepped down after 20 years at the helm of the online retailer, which is now headquartered in downtown Las Vegas. Tony Hsieh has hung it up. He sold the company to Amazon back in 2009 for more than $1 billion. The Golden Knights, game two of their best-of-seven series, begin on NBC tonight.
KMCQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
We're getting some moderate flows on the Beltway right now. 215 east at St. Rose, west at Valley Verde. You'll tap the brakes there. Also, some reduced speeds as you work your way through the resort corridor of Interstate 15. North at Tropicana and south at Sahara. Kevin Wall is next.
Gather around! Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. Yes, it's live and local. Good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ. All across Southern Nevada, we bring you the very latest on what's going on. Our first guest, we originally had booked in order to talk about the building of the 300th mile of new wall being built around along our southern border. It turns out we've got breaking news on our hands that involves our next guest. He is Chad Wolf, Acting Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. He joins us. And first of all, Mr. Secretary, we're going to lose the acting real soon. Tell me what's going on there. You've been named to the full-time post. Drop the acting. Is that true?
Well, thanks, Kevin, for having me on. I appreciate it. Yes, today President Trump indicated his plans to nominate me to be the Secretary of Homeland Security. So hopefully soon enough, with the backing and confirmation of the United States Congress, I'll be doing the job full time.
Is there any different? Is there any difference for you in what you'll be doing, where you'll be doing it, any of that as an acting versus the full-time real secretary?
No, not really. I've been in the acting position now for 7 to 8 months, and you know, we get a lot of criticism at the department that we have a lot of acting officials. But I have to tell you, you know, it just doesn't enter into our thinking when we go to work every day to, you know, secure the homeland and work with our other colleagues at the department. We're there pushing our mission, making sure that we're protecting the homeland. So it'll be nice again eventually with the consent of the U.S. Congress. To be the full-time secretary, the permanent secretary. But again, we're going to do our mission whether I'm in that acting capacity or in the permanent capacity.
Well, you have had a ringside seat for what's been going on around our country, and we'll talk about the convention in a little bit. We'll also talk about that 300th mile of border wall. But I got to ask you for an update if we can get it. What's going on in Portland? We have, you know, 4 months of violence, of looting, of the mob, really mob rule in Portland. Same thing's happening now in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Can you give me a little update on those two hot spots, if you will?
Absolutely. They're a little different, so I'll talk about them separately. Portland as we saw when the Department of Homeland Security, our law enforcement officers were there, you have a city of Portland who has local officials have fostered an environment there that I talk about that breeds this lawlessness. There's always been protest in Portland, which is fine. First Amendment right, your ability to exercise that right is perfectly okay. But once you cross the line and you start doing these violent acts and criminal acts, and that's where obviously law enforcement needs to step in. Unfortunately, we have, city and state officials there that just don't want to step in soon enough to address the violence going on. So as you indicated, it's almost been three months of every night some violent activity, rest. There's numerous riots that are being declared every night. I continue to push the Oregon governor. I believe she needs to send in her National Guard like the Wisconsin governor has done last night. He's increasing the number of guard that he is putting out there. The governor of Oregon needs to do the same. She needs to understand the seriousness of the situation. We encourage her to act. How our system is built, Kevin, is, you know, the governor, state and local officials, this is their problem. This is their issue to fix. They have law enforcement. And at the end of the day, if they can't do it and they need assistance, they need to ask for the assistance. And then a number of our authorities, the president's authorities, I should say, kick in. But they refuse to ask for that assistance and believe that they can handle it locally. And unfortunately, what we've seen is almost 3 months of not being able to do that. So we can continue to work with them and continue to encourage them to step up, protect their communities, protect the people that live there, because there are businesses in downtown Portland that are suffering because of this violence.
And Mr. Secretary, let me just interrupt you just a second, because I thought there was this meeting, this high-level meeting, you and the mayor and a bunch of other folks from government, and there was some sort of agreement that you'd pull back some of the federal agents. Can you talk a little bit about what was involved in that, and sure. Has it worked? Or it doesn't look like it's worked, because we still have violence there.
Yeah, I think this is a lot of the myths that are out there, and there's a lot of misinformation, mostly peddled by some of the mainstream media. What I would say is it was violent in Portland shortly after the George Floyd death throughout the month of June. DHS did not show up until July, and we stayed there throughout July. And the agreement that I made with the governor was I would pull some of my folks out from the public eye, the public view of folks on the street. She would send in her Oregon State Police to make sure that federal facilities were protected and they weren't being tried to be burned and bombed every night. And that has been largely successful. Unfortunately, the criminal element and the anarchist out there simply veered to the right or to the left and started attacking Portland police facilities and other city buildings. And that's what they've been doing for the past 30 days. So the agreement worked in a sense. They stopped directing or attacking federal buildings, but they continue to attack city and state buildings there in Portland. So they're not, again, attacking federal law enforcement officers, which are good. My men and women were attacked for almost 60 days. That has stopped, but what we see them is targeting local law enforcement, and that's what we continue to talk with them about. So, yes, absolutely, still fostering that environment that allows individuals to walk down the middle of the street with weapons, attack a police precinct in this case, what they've done the last several nights, and then turn around and walk away.
Wow.
So
wow.
It's just quite remarkable.
Again, Chad Wolf joining us, the acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Let's talk about Kenosha. Are there still federal interests there, or is that purely a local situation?
Well, of course, we're certainly interested. The president's very interested about what's going on there. The governor did the right thing. The governor quickly saw that that the state or even the local law enforcement didn't have the capability to address that, and he quickly called in, I believe, up to 150 of his National Guard. They came in on the second night. I think what he saw was perhaps that wasn't enough, and so I've seen reports where he's increased the number of National Guard that he's deploying there, and that's the right move. You've got to address this early on. To make sure that you're sending a signal that we're not going to allow the lawlessness to continue. So the governor in this case is doing the right thing, working at the state level and again with his city officials to do the right thing. But of course, we're taking a close look at it. I talked with the Attorney General today about Wisconsin. I know he's also looking at it. So yes, absolutely. We are monitoring it, but allowing the state and local officials to try to address it.
I want to ask you about the 300th mile. I'm so excited, and when we had a court decision, I don't know, a month ago involving $6 billion of money being moved into accounts so we could build the wall, complete the wall. Can you talk about this 300th mile? This is historic.
It absolutely is, and it's really just a testament to President Trump's leadership on this issue. Here we are at the end of August. I will be traveling down to the border in 2 days. I will be down there to mark the 300th mile, the construction or the completion of the 300th mile of that new border wall system that President Trump has funded and built over the last 3.5 years. So we'll get to 300 miles this week. We'll hopefully be at 400 miles by the end of October and 450 miles by the end of the year. And this is I just can't emphasize enough the capabilities that this provides the men and women of the Border Patrol do their job on a border and in an environment that's very hostile in some places. And it allows them a capability that they've never had before. And so every trip that I make down to the border, I ask our men and women, what is it that they need most? And an effective border wall system is always at the top of that list. So we're happy to deliver that that capability to them. And like I said, we'll be down there in 2 days to cut the ribbon on that.
I want to ask you, because we've got an election coming up in less than 70 days, and a lot of people are wondering what the Department of Homeland Security, what is your role in ensuring that everybody has a chance to have a say in who wins and loses on November 3rd?
Absolutely. I think it's a great question. And what we say at the department is we're doing everything in our power, and I'll go through that a little bit, making sure that American voters decide American elections. And so what we are focused on at the department is making sure that any cyber threats to our elections are addressed very, very soon in the process. So what does that mean? That means that we are working every day with all 50 secretaries of state. As you know, Kevin, elections are run and administered locally. The federal government does not do elections. We don't run elections. State and localities do. So we're working with all 50 secretaries of state. We're working with thousands of other jurisdictions and then the major technology companies that run those voting machines to make sure that any cyber issues are addressed first and foremost. We offer a number of no-cost services to states. It's remote penetration testing, it's risk and vulnerability assessments, and other things that that we can address to make sure that the physical infrastructure, the voting, those are the voting machines, those are the poll books, things of that nature, are as safe and secure as possible. So we've been doing that work for the past 4 years. We had a very successful and safe election in 2018 from a cyber perspective, and we believe that we will have another secure election when it comes to November.
Final minute, I got to ask you about what happened last night. After watching 4 days of gloom and doom last week from the Demo Rats, watching yesterday and last night was so incredibly refreshing. It was uplifting. What did you think of night one of the Republican National Convention?
Well, I'll try to stick to to the policies of DHS and leave the politics to others. But I think what the president's been able to achieve over the last 4 years, particularly when we talk about border security and restoring integrity to the immigration system and all the other missions of the department, has really been remarkable. But I think if people look at the results that we have been able to accomplish over the last 3 years, what they will find is that the president is delivering on the promises he made as a candidate. He has come in. He's had to break some china from time to time to get the results that he has wanted. But it's all for the American people at the end of the day. And I think that's what most reasonable Americans want. They want someone who runs for office to actually implement the things that he has said. So I think that was reflected last night and will continue to be reflected in the next several days.
Promises made, promises kept. It is so refreshing. Mr. Acting Secretary, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. But more importantly, congratulations on the new old gig with the new title. I am so happy for you. Thank you so much. I hope you'll come on again.
Right.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Chad Wolf, the acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. He'll get the confirmation in the Senate, and he will have the full-time, permanent, if you will, gig as the secretary for the Department of Homeland Security. Stick around. More to do. We're going to bring you highlights We're going to bring you highlights of night number one. It was so uplifting. It brought me to tears a couple of times. I thought it was absolutely amazing. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. I'll let you hear some highlights as well on AM 670 KMZQ.
Big fashion trend?
Mass can be a fashion statement.
It's true. I bedazzled mine.
AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio. Done right.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than three decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCycery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
He's the coolest man in the world. So cool that his drinks stay cold without ice. So cool that his business cards say, "I'll call you." So stay cool, my friends, and call Home Air Conditioning for all your cooling and air conditioning needs. From repairs to replacements, call Danny at 878-8367. Get an efficiency and air conditioning tune-up for only $59.
The summers are long, so stay cool, my friend. Stay cool.
License number 51994. Online at homeairlv.com.
Would you like an air conditioning technician instead of a salesman?
Afraid you're about to overpay for that air conditioner from that national chain?
Then you need to call Home Air Conditioning for your new, quiet, and energy-efficient air conditioning system. And if you need service and repair, they fix it right the first time. License number 51994. Call Danny for your quote over the phone at 878-8367. That's 878-8367, online at homeairlv.com.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Don't forget this hour brought to you by Real Water. Quench your thirst, hydrate yourself like never before. Order your Real Water today. And just for my listeners, that means you and you and you. Oh, yeah, and you in the back. Get free shipping and handling. Call 1-855-REAL-WTR. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR. Call right now. The number, 1-855-REAL-WTR. I thought night one of the Republican National Convention was so uplifting. You could not but have been inspired. Real people, all races, colors, creeds, and they were all there saying, this president has delivered. Promises made, promises kept, like we were talking with Chad Wolf. And it's true. It's true. The best one of the night for me, well, I don't know, there were a couple of bests. But Herschel Walker, the old football player, 37 years as a friend of Donald J. Trump. And this is cut one. According to Herschel Walker, Donald J. Trump is no racist. Here it is.
Janitors, security guards, and waiters, the same way he would treat a VIP. He made them feel special because he knew they were. He understands that they are the people who make this country run. They clean, they cook, they build, they drive, they deliver. He told me, Herschel, make an effort to get to know people. Remember their names. That stuck with me. One time, I planned to take his kids to Disney World with my family. At the last minute, Donald said he'd like to join us. So there he was, in a business suit, on It's a Small World ride. That was something to see. It just showed you what a caring, loving father he is. It hurt my soul to hear the terrible names that people call Donald. The worst one is racist. I take it as a personal insult that people would think I've had a 37-year friendship with a racist. People who think that don't know what they're talking about. Growing up in the Deep South, I've seen racism up close. I know what it is, and it isn't Donald Trump. Just because someone loves and respects the flag, our national anthem, and our country, doesn't mean they don't care about social justice. I care about all those things. So does Donald Trump. He shows how much he cares about social justice in the black community through his actions. And his actions speak louder than stickers or slogans on a jersey. He keeps right on fighting to improve the lives of black Americans and all Americans. He worked night and day. He never stops. He leaves nothing on the field. Some people don't like his style, the way he knocks down obstacles that get in the way of his goals. People on the opposing team didn't like when I ran over them either. But that's how you get the job done. I pray every night that God gives him more time. Give him 4 more years. He has accomplished so much almost all by himself on a constant attack. But there's still more work to be done. If you love America and want to make it better, Donald Trump is your president. He's my president. And I'm blessed to call him friend.
I was blown away by that. But watching that last night, I just thought, oh my God. Unbelievable. I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's go to Richard. Richard, you're up on AM 670 KMZQ. I'm Kevin Wall. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wall. I'd like to know when our governor is going to soften up temporarily our stringent California-style HOA regulations so that... Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're windy. You're windy, but I can hear you.
Thank you. So that our employees, especially our young people, can save some money by being allowed to do simple things like hang up their laundry outside instead of running up their power bills by using a dryer and coming back on the Detroit landscaping.
Richard, we're going to have to lose you. I think we get the gist. The only objection I would have, HOAs are there for a reason. Now, I understand forbearance if you're talking about HOA fees, some sort of forbearance. I get that, and I understand that, and I would support that. At the end of the day, though, somebody has to pay for those services, whether it's landscaping or trash hauling or whatever it is. They have to ultimately pay for that. Now, as far as those things that HOAs do, don't hang laundry off your second floor balcony. That's what they're there to do. And just because we have a pandemic doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep the neighborhood looking the way we want it to. I mean, we're paying for that. We're paying $200, $300, $500, $600, $700 a month to keep the neighborhood looking nice and not looking like it's a trash heap. Anyway, thanks, Richard. I appreciate the call. I hope I answered it. Forbearance and things like that, I think that's fine. Eventually, somebody's got to pay the freight. At the end of the line, somebody's got to pay for this stuff. Now, if you're talking about the things that HOAs do, which is keep the neighborhood looking nice, I'm not sure that should be, rules like that should be waived or anything like that during a pandemic. It has nothing to do with your ability to pay or anything like that. Coming up, Cassie Smedley will join us. She's the Republican National Committee Deputy Communications Director. She also hails from my hometown of Kansas City. And we've had a chance over the... If you were with...